What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another HK Video Game Experience. I'm Hollywood Cole here with Clearfire. What's up, Clearfire?
What's going on, man?
Today we're doing top three 2023. Late in the game, just like it was last year. I thought we didn't do it last year. I was looking through our old podcast. We did it in March as well for 2020.
Oh, did we really?
So the thing we got doing it, we do every year, is our top games played for that year. And of course, it's 2023, and the games don't necessarily have to come out that year. All of mine did. And so let's just do the rule to where you just talk about the game, unless you know what I'm saying? Okay. If we have one in common, I don't know if we will. I honestly don't think we will. If there is, there's one that we have a chance to, but
maybe one.
Yeah.
And I'd be surprised. Because I don't think you're going to. I'd be
you're
shocked.
You're not going to have my number one.
You're not going to have my number.
Yeah. All right.
You probably won't have my. You probably won't have my one, two, or three. So, yeah. But we can play our same rule as we always do. If it is on somebody else's list, we bump it until we get then.
Okay. We can do that. All right. Well, what's your number three, man? Top three. So what's your criteria, first of all? What is your criteria for your top three?
So this past year, my criteria is a little bit different because I actually didn't realize that I spent a lot of the year playing games with my son. And so the majority of the games that I have on my list are games that we either played together or he watched me play, and he actually got really into watching me play games a lot. So it just kind of goes on the ones that I enjoyed the most, spent the most time on, and just brought the most enjoyment to me and him, pretty much. I mean, it's kind of a little bit of him in there, too, because, like I said, all three of my games on my top three are games that I played either for him or with him.
Okay. Yeah, mine... the similar, not with necessarily with the kids, although we did play one of them with the kids a lot, pretty much every time, matter of fact. But it was more so, you know, when I started it up, how my criteria is when I started it up, how often I was on it. Like the next day, am I on it again? Am I thinking about the game? Do I want to play it again? How long did that take? You know, did I finish the game in one sitting, quote, you know, sitting being didn't play anything else until it was, you know, done type of thing. So my one and two are very close, but that's the reason my number one will be its number one, because it was one that I sat down and just played and played and played and played until it was done and enjoyed it a lot. So what is your number three?
My number three is one I know for sure is not on your top three. It's probably not even in your radar of playing games. It's Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
It sure is not.
And the reason why that one's on my number three is because, one, it's a game I enjoy. Also, two, the beginning of last year, in February, I actually ended up having nasal surgery, and me and my son, while I was recuperating, laying on the couch, actually watched Dragon Ball Super together, because he's saw me watching it and came in one day, and then we started watching from where I was at and picked up on that. And then, of course, we started watching Dragon Ball Z throughout the rest of the year, too. And so that kind of why that one holds a space there, because it's, I don't know if you really can call it, it's more like an action adventure RPG-ish style. You play as Kakarot for a lot of the game, but you do switch between some of the characters. You do level them up, you have stuff like that, and it was just it's a lot of fun. It's a game that kind of spans through all of the Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball, I think it goes into Super some. I didn't get all the way through it, of course, but a lot of fun game, and I would always pick it up. So it was something that I always thought about, was wanting to play, and kept on playing it and enjoyed it. So that is why it's my number three.
All right, cool. Yeah, I never did any Dragon Ball anything.
They're fun games. If you ever wanted to play them,
you've mentioned them several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're coming out with a new Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenha GT I guess that's how you say it last. So I'd never get the right
Budokai.
But it's it that's like their premier ones. I played several of those on like the PS2 and I think PlayStation 1 had some too. But a lot of fun. Those games go usually span the entire mythos of Dragon Ball. So it's if you've never done any Dragon Ball, that's a good game to pick up and play if you wanted to get into that.
Well,
my number three is one that is very popular, and we had a great time playing it. Made by Nintendo, and was made by a different team this time than before, although supervised by the man, and it's Mario Wonder, Super Mario Wonder. It was so, that was what they've done a great job with this kind of just the fun factor of Mario. It's super easy. It's a little bit too easy, but all the way through, we finished it. It took a while, but we kept coming back to it, and the kids love it.
It looks like a super fun one. I haven't picked it up yet, and it just looks fun. I know it's a 2D side-scroller.
I love that.
And it looked really good. Like, I've been impressed with all of the little clips I've seen of it, and it just looks like a lot of fun. I still kind of giggle when I see, like, Elephant Mario, and I'm like, what in the world?
Elephant Mario's a little weird.
But it still looks a lot of fun. And
it's just out in the blue, but the whole game is just all over the place. Like,
that's what it seems like.
You get the Wonder Seed, right, every stage, and that's like a double entendre. Like, I wonder what's going to happen, because it's just, like, you know, fever dreamish thing. The piranha plants, the very first stage of piranha plants, you get it, they start dancing and singing and putting on the show. It's awesome. And I was like, oh, I like this. My son's like, I don't know about this. I was like, well, dude, that's so cool.
That's wild that that's the first stage, because I've seen a lot about that. And I didn't think that was the first stage, because nobody ever said that in any little things I've seen. And so that's awesome.
Yeah, the animations are super cool. Like, you know, he goes in the pipe. If he goes, like, in a sideways pipe, and his hat is so fast, and his hat stays out there, and he reaches his hand and grabs his hat back in, you know. Just little things like that that make it so playful. And then the final fight was really cool. Oh, man, it's a lot of music, too, with it, that you have to kind of time, and you time it with the beats and stuff.
See, now that's cool. That sounds like a really awesome twist on a Mario game, is to be with that music. And, of course, yeah, being a big music person, that's pretty cool.
And then when you die,
go ahead.
When you die, you turn into like a little ghost, and you float around. And then if we're playing two player, and I touch the guy, I mean, it comes back. You got like 5 seconds. You don't lose a life.
Oh, that's cool.
You can also set, unless you don't touch him. Then you set up these little stands, little wooden stands, which are just like pictures of Mario or Peach or whoever. And if somebody hits it, so if you play online, other little ghost multiplayers are playing behind you. They don't influence your world other than keep you alive.
That's funny.
So you put the little every time you save somebody, you get more points, and you get like a score, like a helpful score. Like, you know, it depends on how much you've helped people.
That's funny.
You know, I could only play it like, you know, we'd play it for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And I'm like, all right, I'm kind of tired of it, which is not usually like that for Mario, but it's just so easy. And there are some harder stages, and we got, you know, we tried to get all the Wonder Seeds. I think we got all the Wonder Seeds. We just didn't get there's little flower coins and stuff like that. But anyway, it was fun. It was pretty fun. That was my number three for the year for sure.
It looks fun. So just one before we jump off that, just one question. Do you get to like choose who you play as? Or
oh yeah.
Okay.
So you can be Mario, Luigi, Toad. There's two Toads, Toad or Toadette, Peach or Daisy, or like all these different color Yoshis, or all these little, the guys with the bags, I think. Can you play as him or not? I can't remember. But all the Yoshis can't die.
Can't die?
Yeah, you can't die.
Oh my gosh.
That's like the easy mode, but you can't turn into anything. You can't turn into an elephant. You can't.
So you're just Yoshi the entire time.
Yeah, but you can jump on their back. You know, they'll jump you around. And all this is like, so they can carry you around.
I'd play Yoshi all the time. I don't care if it was the easy mode. That'd just be fun.
Yeah. So it's fun, man. I mean, they just did a good job with it.
That's interesting that you have that in there like that.
So if you're playing really with cool. your son. Jump on his back and he'd take you around.
Oh my gosh. So, you're making my eyes water from laughing, dude. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It is fun. You got to play it with, you got to play those games with that in mind.
Like, oh yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
It's time with kids. You're not trying to like speed run it. You're not trying to not die.
Oh yeah. And I mean, that's like that's kind of like Minecraft Dungeons when you play it in certain parts. You know, once you get further into it, it starts getting tough. But
yeah,
you know, certain parts of it is very much easy. You know, fun. Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, what's your number two?
I put these interchangeable because they both sucked up a lot of time, but I think I'm gonna have to go Starfield.
Okay. Yeah.
Starfield's my number two.
That was going to be on my list. That was a fight on my list as well.
And I'm putting Starfield at number two just because, yes, I did complete it one time, you know, get all the way to the end and do the whatever at the Unity or whatever at the end. And started my new game on it, or new game plus, whatever. And it was fun, but it was frustrating at the same time because they could have done so much more with it, and it could have been so much better. It definitely didn't feel like a Bethesda game. Like, at times it did, like leveling up and having all the options there on what you can spend your ability points on, skill points on, you know, that felt like it. But then once you start getting into the actual gameplay, it was just so everywhere. Like, most Bethesda games lead you to a defined point, but this one, I felt like you never had that defined point. And when I read an article probably about a day or so ago talking about the end, basically they said that the designers, and this was one of the lead designers on the game at the time, basically said, yeah, we designed this beautiful game, and then we're like a couple weeks from launch and we hadn't even planned the final stage. And the final stage literally was you going like through time, through different points of the game that you'd already been at. And they're like, we just put it together because we didn't have to design anything. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, that makes sense. That's why that so ending was so crappy. Because it was. I mean, it really was. The final boss fight in the game was stupid. I mean, it really was. But I like the game, and I keep on like fighting myself from going back to play it because I know if I get sucked in, I'll just get mad at it again. And I'm just kind of sitting back and waiting on it. And I'm starting to have that same feeling of a game I'm playing right now that I spend a lot of time on. I like it, but it just makes me mad because it's just back to our whole argument of games not being fully designed and developed and getting released. And that's what Starfield was. And I feel like it probably is worth my time to go back to, but just not right now. But it just took too much of my time not to be up there. And I did enjoy it, but it just...
That's one of those that, you know, it's free on Games Pass and got it as well. And I'd probably put a several hours. I mean, I got pretty far and I like to go explore. I mean, I played a lot of it. It was one of those that hooked me, right?
I mean, I got over 60 hours in it.
Yeah, something like that for me. And I even changed it to hard mode because it was so easy to shoot, kill, and everything. I was like, man, let's just turn it to hard mode. And I'll turn it to hard mode if you gain more experience and all that. I think you do on this one. Either way, I did that, and you got to be a little bit more careful. But what killed it for me, the story was fine. I didn't finish it, but where I was at in the story was fine. And I like the ship battles and all that kind of stuff. And you have a massive talent tree to pick from.
Right? Oh gosh, it's so big.
And so when I looked online and YouTube and the pick, you know, whatever the different tier, not tiers, but like if you like physical or computer or pilot or whatever they were called, those, that's how long it's been since I played.
Basically groupings, your skill
groupings.
Yeah,
the groupings for your talents. And it said which each YouTube video that the guy made had, okay, what's the best ones in the physical? What's the best ones in whatever? And you realized, dude, like 80% of those talents are worthless.
Absolutely worthless.
And I was like, oh my gosh, dude. It's like you said, they kind of just got lazy and threw them in there to have something to make it look like. I mean, it's pretty much all pilot stuff and do a little bit of physical stuff. your guns were, I mean, if you got to level two per on your guns, you know, they had four levels each. Most every time the fourth level was just worthless.
It's just
most of them, and it's just like, oh, that killed it for me, because that made it just seem like chaff. Like, okay, it's just a bunch of stuff in there that's not going to make a difference.
You need your digipick hacking up.
Yeah,
you need your it's your one of your strength ones all the way up, so you can carry the maximum stuff and not get tired because you burn oxygen and see it and all that. So you got to do that, and then get your jetpack up. You get those three. Anything else after that is just extra.
Yeah,
those three are the only ones that actually mean something. Oh, and the pilot, because you need to get to the class C so you can fly all the ships.
A super good ship. I mean, I did all. I got to the best. That kind of stuff, and you know, with the class, the higher class, and
I started building ships and everything, and it just. Yeah. I mean, it was fun. It just, I don't know. And then Bethesda, whenever. So like in Skyrim, there's quote unquote glitches you can do that they never took out of the game. And when glitches were found in Starfield, they patched those so quick. But they didn't patch any of the bugs that were actually causing the problems to the game. There's still bugs in the game to this day. It's a year old now at this point. That they never have patched, but they sure did make sure to patch it to where you couldn't like get behind the stage and get to the chest and everything. And I'm so mad at that. It's like, why are you focusing on the parts that kind of, you know, gave the little extra spice to a Bethesda game? Take that away from us. But yet you don't fix the things that need to be fixed on the game. That's what just frustrated me with a lot of what they did on the update on their updates.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I never went back to it after I realized that, and I just kind of slowly fell out of it. Another game may have come up, but I don't remember why, but I hadn't played it in months.
Same here. I maybe turned it on, started to, and I was like, I don't want to do this.
So, my number two, because Starfield was almost on my list. It was going to be up there, but I'm glad that you had it so we could talk about it, because I was going to talk about those things too, is Tears of the Kingdom, Legend of Zelda, no doubt.
I almost put that on my list.
Oh, so good, man.
A beautiful game.
I didn't finish it. I got to, where did I get to? I mean, it could be anything because it's so open world.
Yeah.
First, I didn't think I'd like the building and all that kind of crap, but I kind of get used to it. I mean, I knew it was going to be fun. And you see, a lot of times I'll see something on Nintendo like, oh, building, all this weird flying stuff and all this, where there's, but they did a good job to make it where there's multiple ways to solve the problem.
Yeah.
I do like that one. I got to go back and finish that and get into that again. It's kind of complicated.
Go watch videos on the building stuff alone. It's insane what people have come up with, man. That right there is what made me like go back and play it a little more here and there. I'd see a new video of something they built, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get to that. And I'd start playing it, and then, of course, I just would, ADHD would take me off somewhere else, and I'd forget to come back to it.
Well, I'm more interested in, not necessarily the lore, but I like to, you know, trick my guy out with the good best weapons and armors and all this kind of stuff, and cooking the best foods and whatever, and the building is... It's cool, but you know, you get to carry those little modules to help you build wherever. So, I mean, I couldn't tell you a whole lot about it. I mean, I played it at the beginning of the year for a long time.
There is so much to it. Like,
so I did get back on it, I was on one of that fish. It's in the water world where you got to get on that fish, and you know, there's some secret with that fish. And I was like, I can't figure it out. I wasted a lot of like these water, it's not water balloons, but these water fruits that you throw cleaned off the fish and everything. There's like nothing happened, and I was like, man, what's going on? I had to look it up, and I can't remember what it was, but it, you know, I'm stuck, right? I was like, okay, I just got the fins where I can go up the waterfall. Of course, you can get those anytime, right? So, but I put a lot of hours in there. But anyway, I did finish Breath of the Wild right away, and so this, I can't remember what pulled me away from this one, but probably DMZ type stuff.
I was just going to say, last year had so many games come out, it was hard to stay focused on one, because as soon as one came out, another came out. And so it was just very easy to get lost in the new releases of games last year. Hopefully this year is not as bad. Like, so far it's been kind of mild, and that's been good.
Which, you know, I don't know what our audience, I don't think a lot of them play Call of Duty and Warzone and stuff like that, but, you know, we've stopped that along. We've hadn't played that in months, and that's not on my list. So just because if you've been listening to us for a while, DMZ, I got to say, you know, we did some YouTube. That was like the last hoorah, but I want to have Coastal Minority on and really just do like a smooth ramblings of just really breaking down what has happened with that in my view, you know, what has happened with the new Call of Duty that just killed it for me. But anyway, maybe we'll do one of those if you're interested. It'll be out. Maybe.
Look,
if I can get it to come on.
You can get on the terrible game I'm playing that I'm stuck on, and you can play that with me. I mean, it can be a co-op game. Skull and Bones.
Oh, yeah. No, we just started Fallout 76 again. I'm going to play that tonight after this is done. Yep. So me and Rev, because we hadn't played in Call of Duty in a while, so I've been playing Rebirth.
I just hadn't played it yet.
Yeah, I think Swingin' and me are going to do something on it. He's, you know, we got a couple of theories going. But I hadn't finished it. I hadn't looked at any spoilers or anything, so. But it's all right. It's all right, game. It's not. I'm going to have to talk about that at some point. I wish it was a little bit better. I'm just waiting for it to like push. Oh, it's going to get me. It's just enough to keep you playing. It's not a bad game. The combat is awesome. But anyway, we'll talk about it. I'm going to talk about it at some point.
That's what I've heard from my Final Fantasy 16 Reddit group. They're like, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has made me appreciate Final Fantasy 16 more. That's been a lot of the posts I've seen. Well, and I'm like, please don't tell me that. I was like, that's just frustrating because, I mean, we know the story of Final Fantasy VII, and I know that this new remake is kind of not exactly the same story. It's different and all that. So,
yeah, 16 is like the new. I mean, it is like a new Final Fantasy, of course, the newest release date. But it's also, you know, the cinematics are beautiful, the story's in depth. That's, you know, if you like story and cinematics, dude, that's a great game for you. But you watch 5-10 minutes of story, and then it'll switch to you control the character, and you walk 3 feet, and then it starts again. Another thing, you're like, why'd you even give me control of the character just so I can feel like I'm playing a game?
So that's speaking funny. Of Final Fantasy 16,
okay,
that's my number one.
Yeah, all right.
I spent a lot of time on it. I mean, I've got a lot of hours into it.
Yeah, that's for
and,
sure.
And I love it. I mean, I really do love that game. And the only reason why I haven't started playing it again is because Rising Tide comes out on April the 18th, and I don't want to get far into my second playthrough. I want to play Rising Tide in my first playthrough and get all of that, and then because basically whenever you do your playthrough in there, whenever you start your Final Fantasy Plus mode game, you select what save you want to play it from. And so I'm going to play it from that save that has all of that on there so I can have all of the stuff going into my second playthrough. But, dude, I mean, I love the story of the Final Fantasy 16. It really was a great story. Another one of those that, you know, I shared with my son. He watched the entire thing from start to finish. Absolutely loved it. He was begging me to play it every single day when he got home from school. And played it a lot. Played it through the summer. He enjoyed it. And I like the play style of that one. I normally didn't care. So it's like a... It's not exactly like Final Fantasy 15 play style. It's different. I never played the Devil May Cry series, and everybody says that this is the Final Fantasy version of Devil May Cry. So I might really like those games then, but I really liked how the playthrough happened, how the play style happened, especially the fighting and everything. But yeah, like Hollywood said, it's more cutscenes than it is playing sometimes. Sure. Now, granted, I did run off and do all kinds of stuff, and I was hunting all of the, I forget what they're called, but the specialty fights that you do, and you can only use like one icon and only two of their abilities that's predefined. You can't pick it, and you have to beat it in a time limit and everything. The rewards, the only bad thing about it is the rewards weren't that great. And so it's frustrating that you don't get good rewards out of most everything. The swords really don't matter that you get in the game. I mean, you do want to get the next best sword, but it didn't like enhance it or anything. It's really only when you open up like all the icon abilities that it really does open up for the specialization, because then when you're able to select the two icons you want to use and the abilities you want to use, once you get it to where you can have the mix of abilities, so you don't have to select like Garuda and just Garuda abilities. You'd have like Garuda and abilities from Bahamut or from Titan and whatnot. When you can do that, that's when it gets fun, because then you can have those mix up and change ups and just learning the different combos that make the battles a little more exciting. So, overall, I think it's a fun game. I like it a lot. It doesn't beat my favorite leveling in Final Fantasies, which is Final Fantasy X. I love the Sphere Grid. I think that was an amazing. I wish they would bring that back in something. But, you know, I think I'm one of the few people that actually just absolutely love the Sphere Grid.
They just do this, man. And that's what irritates me. It's a little bit like Rebirth. Rebirth is not quite as bad as 16, but when you don't have good rewards for something, I mean, like I've gotten to a thing now where it's like there's a couple little mini games and it's like, what's the best? Okay, I don't care. I'm not even going to try it. I mean, I don't care. You know, I'm not going to go figure it out for that, you know. And then the treasure chest, you know, there's nothing in there really. Kind of some stuff, but you're not gonna really get off the beaten path and find this great thing. You're not gonna go to an area where you're not supposed to be, or you're right on the edge of being, but you somehow can trick out your materia, and the same way for 16. I know you don't have materia, but trick out all your stuff and find the weaknesses and really just kind of strategically move through, get the great item you're not supposed to have, get out of there. Now you're a little bit OP. Nah, forget about those days. They don't even begin to do that for 16 or 7 Rebirth. And you're like, dude, that's what makes it kind of makes you just, honestly, there's many a times when I'm playing Rebirth where I'm just like, I kind of just want to go play the regular Final Fantasy 7 now.
Yeah.
Because it's just that much better.
I can see that. Too, with like Final Fantasy 16, the one major gripe I have about it is it's too linear. You can open up and go places and everything, but as story-wise, it is like very linear. You don't really get any benefit from exploring the open world. Like Hollywood was saying, when you go in the open world,
grind at all.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you found Gal in Final Fantasy III, is exploring the open world. You got to find him out there and, you know, well, in the fields. It's just crazy.
There's no reason to explore open worlds. They like got rid of that kind of stuff, and they got rid of the good weapons and stuff, because then they got to rebalance the game. All of these things are hard to do. These are what take even working out all the bugs and stuff. If you get all that done, you still have to, you know, once you have different items and you have to kind of account for where they're going to go or potentially could go, what items could they have, and then rebalance the game a little bit based on their decisions. That's a lot of, you know, spaghetti models to try to figure out that they're not even gonna waste their time on it now. They just have these little things that they focus on. It took out turn-based combat, which, you know, okay, so they got rid of that and added the combat, but they also got rid of all the grinding and all of the, grinding was fun for a little bit. You know, I like it when you don't have to grind, but if you do grind, you're rewarded for it. And then,
exactly. I want that balance because, I mean, take like Final Fantasy X, for example. This is always going to be one I always bring up. You don't ever have to get any of the ultimate weapons in Final Fantasy X, and you can have an amazing time playing that game. But for the crazy grinding you had to do from some of those, it was well worth the reward. There is no ultimate weapon. There's no ultimate weapon in Final Fantasy 16. You don't get an amazing sword. I mean, there is, but it's not like so amazing that it makes you just Superman. You know, it doesn't give you that OP status like it would any of the ultimate weapons from like Final Fantasy 10. And really, it's not much of a grind to get the ultimate weapon in Final Fantasy 16, because you technically have to do everything anyway to get it, you know, because if you're a person that plays a game and wants to beat everything in that game, you would get it eventually. Whereas, like, Final Fantasy X, if you didn't really dig into it, you wouldn't have found the ultimate weapons. And it's frustrating. And then two, almost every Final Fantasy has some sort of mini game in it. This one didn't have it. 16 didn't have it. Don't get me wrong, absolutely love 16, but I mean, come on, where's my Blitzball? Where's my card games? Where's my little just something fun on the side to do randomly to give me something extra? You know, it just didn't have
See,
that.
Then they have to account for you doing that and finding whatever weapon or whatever you get out of it to make it, you know. So then the game's already easy as it is. Now it's like way easy, so they have to go back and rebalance. But you see what I'm saying? That adds way more time. They're not even going to do that anymore. They don't do that.
They spend too much time on the graphics and not enough time on the actual development of the game. Exactly. It's frustrating. I mean, hey.
So when you go back and play these old RPGs, you really see the depth of all these old RPGs. And this is, you know, because back in the day, you didn't just throw a game out and, you know, the game had to be so good that word of mouth got around that you wanted to go buy it, and they couldn't add anything to it once it was out.
So they couldn't do a day one patch. There's no such thing as day one patch back then.
Yeah, so they couldn't patch anything, so it had to be right. And it had to be so good that you just like, oh, I got to get this game. I mean, Final Fantasy VII, you know, when you look back, I'm not even talking about the gameplay. Obviously, it's good. We got to go there. When you think about the impact, this is all word of mouth that everybody wanted to play Final Fantasy VII. So how good of a game does it have to be? Even in a sea of games, there were a lot of games coming out back then.
Oh, yeah.
That when that game drops, everybody's an RPG fan all of a sudden. So that game, that shows you how good that game is. If you're not, even if you don't like Final Fantasy VII, you have to respect that. If you're not from that era and you look back and you see the boxy graphics and you go, I can't play turn-based combat. I can't play these, you know, walking around and having to grind. But, you know, back then, I mean, you get rewarded for those things. I don't like the graphics. I get it. That still can throw me off even. But that's the impact that game had, man. It's not like it is now. You just look up on YouTube, see if you're going to like it. 50 reviews of it.
Exactly. I mean, we love Final Fantasy III or Final Fantasy VI, depending on how you want to look at it. It didn't have the hit like Final Fantasy VII did. Like, Final Fantasy VII drew so many people in. And granted, now once they hit Final Fantasy VII, they learned about III, VI, and went back and played it and loved it because of how amazing it was. But man, Final Fantasy VII just was something else. And like Hollywood said, that word of mouth was just insane on how much it grew and how much it drew people in. I mean, it really did bring a whole generation to RPGs that really just didn't play them that much before. So, but yeah, Final Fantasy XVI, that's my number one. And yeah, I kind of beat it over the head, but hey, I still love it, and I can't wait to play Rising Tide when it comes out in April 18th. So I will be on it hard and heavy then again. So
I'm ready for Iridian Chronicles to come out in April.
Ooh,
that, you know what that is?
I've heard about it. I hadn't seen it yet.
It's the new Suikoden.
Yeah.
It's not, so they're doing a remake of Suikoden 2, which is, I actually cranked that back up on the old PlayStation, and it's amazing. And just because I had it hooked up for Guitar Hero for the kids, I was like, well, let me just drop this Suikoden 2 in. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to check it out, see if it plays good on the M Classic. And I appreciate it, Ian, for dropping that little bug. it works great for that. Still not 100% HD, but it makes it look way better. But Iridian Chronicles, I think that's the guy that created Suikoden, kind of did his own. Just like the guy that did Castlevania Symphony of the Night did Ritual of the Night, which was awesome too. But that and Symphony of the Night are both awesome. So hopefully this game's going to be good. They had a little preview kind of thing out. Not necessarily a preview, but some little pre-game thing out on Xbox, and it just was not that good. But, you know, we'll see. But anyway, my number one is kind of out of left field a little bit. And it may not be, you know, I don't know. It's just my number one. The reason I picked it is because when I was waiting for it, I wanted it real bad. I enjoyed it. I don't want to give too much away, but I played it all the way through, loved every second of it, and I enjoyed it when it came out the first time because it's a remake, Resident Evil 4 remake.
That's not surprising.
Oh my gosh, I love that game, man.
That's not surprising at all that that's your number one, because you love Resident Evil games. You've always loved them.
I don't really necessarily love them. So I liked 3 and 2.
You were the one that introduced me to every single one of them. Like,
so I didn't play 1 hardly.
There
was so much hype around 2.
There was.
A double disc. I wanted to play it, and I played it. And I thought, okay, I'll play it as Leon. Then I'll play as Claire. And just played as Claire, and it was a little bit different. Then I put Leon's disc back in. It's like, wait a minute, Leon B. It's a whole nother, it's like 4 different games in one. And then 3 came out, and we got that at Jones and played that. And that was fun with everybody there. And then 4 came out, and I just remember having some memories with that. And that was one of my favorites. 5 came out, we played it online. I got 6, kind of eh. But pretty much after that, it's like all the other ones, like Biohazard. I didn't play that one, but Resident Evil 0, and there's a whole bunch of other side ones that I never touched that were on like Wii U and all this kind
of
stuff.
There's a ton of them just went all wild.
But 4 was one of my favorites, and I love their remakes. I don't like remake 2. I got Resident Evil 2, 3, and 4, but Resident Evil 2 I didn't like because they have that guy chasing you around. I got Village 2. It's the same thing. Don't have a guy chasing me around all the time where I can't even explore and stop, and I got to get out of there. I got to use all my healing items. I got to use ammo to get out of there. I mean, you know, and it's all limited, so I don't know where I got to go. Because this is the first time you've ever played it, so you're trying to wander around, figure it out the whole time. Something's just supposed to add intensity. It's not. I don't like it. So I don't like the Mr. X chasing you around in 2. 3 is called Nemesis, where you would have a nemesis chasing you around. But ironically, that one doesn't have a nemesis chasing you around all over. It's only like one little bitty part, you know. But 3 was really fun. I went back and tried to platinum that one because it was just so fun, and it's pretty short if you know what you were doing. But then here comes 4. And they did a really good job with it. I mean, they just fixed all the, you know, quality of life stuff, and looks good. Excuse me, it looks good. And
is that the one they also redid? And you can play it VR.
You can play that one VR. So I don't know if you can play it VR on like PlayStation, but there's a VR version out there.
Yeah.
At least they were attempting to do it, and there's like demos of it. I don't know if the whole game's out. Maybe it is. I don't do much of VR. But I know that they were. I want to say that if I'm betting, I'm betting that it's already out there, like I'm a computer or something.
Yeah, I knew they were talking about it through the year last year. I just didn't remember if it really got all the way out or not. And I thought it was 4 that they were doing.
Yeah, to me, that's a perfect mix of shooting and it's not even really like it's not scary at all. But I mean, which is fine.
It's a pretty game, and it looks nice. Yeah. It looks really good. I'm just not into Resident Evil. I mean. It looks
great.
Yeah,
it's longer. I like the stuff that you get if you get like a good grade on it or whatever. But so I hadn't really gone back and got. This is the only thing that kind of stops the being like one of the all-time greats. I hadn't really gone back and played it again to get a better grade. On Resident Evil 3 Remake, I did. I kept going back. And that's one of the things that I really wanted to get a PlayStation 5 for, because when I put it in that PlayStation 4, it sounds like a jet engine taking off. Dude, it was terrible. I couldn't even hear it. I'm serious.
I remember you talking about that.
Jumping out because I can't even hear it. Because it was so loud, we're trying to run that late game for that PlayStation 4.
Yeah, those poor PlayStation 4s, man.
Terrible.
It didn't matter if you had the first model or you had one of the last models in a Pro. Those games that came out toward the end of them, man, it sounded like a freaking hair here going off in your room. It was just so loud. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, but yeah, that was my number one of, and like I said, did I spend more time on it than I did any other game? No, but I played it and I had it on and I played it again and I played it again and I played it. I didn't play any other game pretty much till I finished it. I had a good time with it.
And that's what, a fun factor, man. If it drew you in, made you want to play it, that's what makes a game and what makes it.
I think, you know, Zelda is a better game, you know, but I didn't finish it. So that's the reason I put it as my number. So that is kind of part of my criteria. Is it my all-time favorite game of 2023? Not necessarily, but it's the one that I played the most and kind of got all the little bar graphs in my mind of fun, how often did I play it, how long did I play it, how was I addicted to it, you know, type of things like that.
It checks all those boxes. Yeah, it checks all those boxes.
Slightly higher than Zelda.
Exactly.
Anyway, man, it's funny. But yeah, so that's our three games of 2023. And all yours came out in 2023 as well?
No.
They didn't?
Mm-mm. Starfield did. Final Fantasy 16 did. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot's been out for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not a new game at all.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, yeah, there's so many games I got to put on this list, and I almost had to go back and look at my history, play history, to try to remember, because that was one of the things that was holding me up. I was like, I don't know what to even pick. And I was glad Mario Wonder came out in 2023, because I was like, oh yeah, it seems like it came out only in 2024, but it's like late 2023.
Yeah.
So
I started keeping on my phone, I got the Samsung Notes. I've started keeping notes of like the games that I play. So like when I start playing a game, I type it in my little notes for the year. So I have my list and I can go back and look at it. Because for some reason, I can't always trust my games played history in both of those. It just seems like it's not right whenever I do it. And even when I was doing that and looking at my list, it just seemed like it didn't match up. I don't know if it's just me going crazy or what, but yeah.
Well, I mean, even like Resident Evil 4, when I had to put in like games that came out in 2023 just to see. I always try to go there first.
Mm.
And unless there's one game that I was just like killing, like The Messenger. Oh man, I love The Messenger. I love that game. We played it. It's kind of short in terms of, and it's just kind of short. It's great. It's one of the great 2D games. Probably one of the best games ever made, and I mean that. It's so that's one of the greater games. Played it like crazy, but I thought it was like 2024 when we were playing it. So maybe that'll be on next year's list. But I love that game. And but I went back and looked at 2023 list, and I go, oh yeah, Resident Evil 4, man. I played that all the time. I played love that. Of course, I knew Tears of the Kingdom was on there. And then I thought it was going to be Starfield as well. And then I got Diablo 4 that I played for a minute, and everybody played it for a minute.
I know. It was like had this huge rush, and then all of a sudden it just died. It's like whoosh. It was really quick drawback.
Supposedly they fixed it. Well, I'm not even. I mean, I can download it anytime. I bought it. Well, I hope maybe Sony cut it off. Sorry, I'm gonna buy it again. And then, Baldur's Gate 3. You know, that could have been on there, but it was. That's one that I just did not, quite get into.
I have it on the
game. I just didn't get into.
I've got it here on my PC, and I've actually got a copy on. I think I did it on Xbox. And I just haven't gotten into it, and I want to because I'm a huge D&D fan, and I like the mechanics of that. But I'm just—I don't know. I'm just
the combat's too hard, man. It's just too hard on there. Like I don't know. I've died so many times. Like you'll win a battle. I mean, I guess I don't like you gotta. I got like two spells I can cast that'll work and I kill them, and then okay, well I walk two steps and then battle again. Or one time I fell through the floor. And now I had to fight a bunch of outlaws that were already like four times higher level than me, killed me. And it's just like, well, I mean,
that's,
I can't win that. I mean, you know, and they say that it gets easier but at first it's really hard.
See, that's one of those D&D mechanics that I'm used to from playing actual D&D. So that is something I'm used to, but God, I hadn't done that in years. So it's probably going to be a bit of pain. A pain
it's
in the butt for me.
It's not fun when you don't want to go to combat. I mean,
yeah, combat's supposed to be the thing you're wanting to go do.
Yeah, I had last time I said I'm gonna crank it back up and try it. I started a barbarian, barbarian type, and I said I'm just gonna role play this. It was fun. I'm just gonna smash everybody.
Yeah,
and then I got in a fight with some little orcs and stuff that were shooting bows down from these roofs.
Oh God!
I didn't get to them. Yeah, I mean, you know, like. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm trying to move, and then they're shooting, tearing me up. I mean, it's just like I can't do anything about it.
Yeah, now that's so frustrating.
Anyway. Yeah, and I try to look it up and figure. I mean, you look at it like, why is combat so hard? And people say, you know, whatever. But I need to look up the best starting class or something to just figure out.
Yeah, I've done a couple of those lookups and
maybe a ranger, just a boat. You know,
yeah, just shoot that range and just be out of the way. I think I started on a warlock and I didn't like how the play was when I was first doing some of the stuff.
You don't get a lot of spells, man. It's just, I mean, you get a lot of spells, but you can't use them but like twice, and you got to go rest. You got to camp to get your powerful spells. You can't use but twice.
I quickly learned I'm not a keyboard mouse player.
Oh yeah,
it was it was frustrating with it, and so I'll jump on that. Oh, speaking of that, so you know how I got the Starfield controller when it came out?
Yeah.
Well, I've also got an Xbox Elite Series 2 controller, and I found a shell and all, like, a lot of the parts to make it look like a Starfield controller. And so I did a whole swap on it with buttons and everything. And so now I've got my Elite Series 2 that looks like it doesn't have the clear bumpers or whatnot, but it does have, like, all the white buttons and the cool little face or whatnot. Okay. And so, yeah, that was fun. It was an interesting thing to actually tear down one of those controllers, because it's seeing how they put it all together. Man.
Yeah.
That's wicked how they did that, how they engineered that Elite Series 2 controller. It's just, wow.
Well, I might have to break open the old Guitar Hero and Rock Band guitar. You see them in the background right there, because we got them out of the attic. I got the one on PlayStation 2, and then I said, I got it on Xbox, and I got the two controllers down. They work. But the buttons sometimes, like the blue and the orange, sometimes don't register on the Rock Band one. And then I have a Guitar Hero guitar too, and the blue button doesn't register sometimes. And you're like, what? So you got to push it kind of harder, so you just got to clean it.
Get you some 90% isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah, you got to take it apart and clean it. You can see it on YouTube.
Yeah,
how to do it, but I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too, when you said that earlier about Rock Band, because I saw, like, on Xbox, that Hollywood recent game played with Rock Band 2. I was like, man, he's throwing back there.
The kids love it. We're playing the bass and play the guitar, and they play the bass.
Dude, I got the full set for the PS. I might be Xbox. Do you have the keyboard?
Oh, so you got a different one. I didn't have that. I got the one where I got the drums and
I've got
microphone and a guitar, two guitars.
Yeah, I've got three guitars. I've got a drum set. I got the microphone and I got the keyboard. Because I bought an aftermarket guitar. It's one of those little Rickenbacker. It looks like one of the Beatles guitars.
Okay.
And dude, I'm telling you, man, you got to get all of them. It's so much fun when you're all.
Rock Band 3, or what did you have?
I got Rock Band 3. I had 1 and 2, and I got 3. I think 3 was the one that introduced the keyboard.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. There's pictures of my brother playing it. Yeah, because I've got it on Xbox 360. Pictures of him playing it on Christmas morning when I'd gotten it. And it's at my parents' house, and it's just hilarious.
Yeah. So, I remember going over there and playing it, too, with the keyboard. But, yeah, Rock Band was super fun. I mean, I wish the guitar worked right. I mean, it's just, I put it on Expert right away, and I got 30% through the song, and I was like, what's going on? So then I said, maybe I didn't want to blame the guitar at first.
Yeah.
But then you can see it, like, when it starts up, you know, you can kind of push the buttons, so you can see which ones are registering or not. And you know, the green registers every time, red, yellow, but then you get blue, and sometimes it doesn't register, it doesn't hold. When you have a note that you have to hold, it'll hold, and it'll just cut off, so you know it's not quite connected.
Yeah,
just right. So I had to put it on hard, and I can get through a song even if it doesn't register, but it's just kind of frustrating.
Right
or not. But anyway, you know, it's just what it is. They just sit up in the attic, you know.
So I might as well pull them down.
Yeah, I guess they just got dust. Supposedly there's grease in those in the buttons, and I guess dust collects on there. I don't know. We'll see.
You can get a can of WD-40 lithium grease, and it'll be like spray WD-40, and you can spray it under those keys, and it'll probably help loosen it up too once you clean them. But it has to make sure it's white lithium grease. But you can get it in a spray can, so it's sprayable.
Yeah.
That's what I have to use for my bearings on my rails on my 3D printers.
Well, anyway, yeah, I'll figure it out, man. It's not too bad to take apart, but yeah, that's what we've been playing this today. Kids love it.
A lot of Skull and Bones. My son likes watching me sail. In that game, you do it a lot of sailing.
It was just like that.
You sail on a ship. A lot. Yeah. That's about all I can say about it right now, unless I start diving in. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of ocean in that. A lot.
Well, cool. I'm about to get on some Fallout 76.
I'm about to get on some of that sleep.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted, man. I've had a rough week. I hadn't slept well, also. I'm going to get on that sleep.
All right. Well, cool, guys. Appreciate y'all listening. Check us out, hnkexp.com. Until next time.
Take care, everybody.
Later.
Adios.